Who watches the Watchers? We do. There's a lot of news coming out about government surveillance, including revelations that the NSA didn't purge some of the data they said they would, the Department of Defense buying equipment that can be hacked to surveil them, and the military using surveillance equipment above U.S. homes. My name is Emily Molly, and you're watching Subverse News. Before we go further, make sure you check out our articles on Minds.com and Medium, where we cover topics like this and more. If you want to support the work we're doing, you can donate over at PayPal, Patreon, or Subscribestar. All those links are in the description. A recently declassified report on the National Security Agency, or NSA, and Central Security Service, or CSS, from the Office of the Inspector General shows that even after the agency claimed it had purged hundreds of millions of records on American citizens, they still held on to some of it. The reason for the purge was that their database had been contaminated with records that were collected without authorization. The report says the Office of the Inspector General, or OIG, generally found that the NSA had been successful in deleting the USA Freedom Act, or UFA, data objects derived from CDRs, or call detail records, that it received from the U.S. telecommunications service providers under the UFA program. However, we identified that should have been deleted, but were not based on the NSA's mistaken assumption regarding the age-off configurations for a single signals intelligence repository. According to a May 2018 report obtained by the American Civil Liberties Union through the Freedom of Information Act, an NSA technical analyst found an anomaly while examining call detail records from a provider, which is an unnamed telecom company. The NSA continued to receive these CDRs from the provider, but stopped requests and forwarding the CDRs to NSA corporate repositories that intelligence analysts access. The provider confirmed that some of these records had inaccurate information, and an investigation revealed that the NSA relied on the inaccurate information in requests to the U.S. Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, or FISC. According to the report, while the NSA lawfully sought the data pertaining to a foreign power engaged in international terrorism, the provider produced inaccurate data and data beyond that which the NSA sought. The OIG conducts independent oversight to promote respect for constitutional rights, adherence to laws, rules, and regulations, and the wise use of public resources. The OIG claims that through investigations and reviews, they detect and deter waste, fraud, abuse, and misconduct, and promotes the economy, efficiency, and effectiveness of agency operations. In a semi-annual report to Congress published in July, the OIG evaluated the NSA's implementation of controls and found a few concerns, including the NSA's primary content repository had retained a small percentage of the large number of signals intelligence data objects beyond legal and policy retention limits in the two data stores tested. NSA has not fully implemented age-off calculations that use the most specific retention requirement, which data objects are labeled. The current process to verify key elements of SIGINT data objects prior to their ingestion in the primary content repository is insufficient, though the NSA has implemented an improved ingest validation process for 93% of the signals intelligence data, about 11% of the data feeds being entered in the primary content repository. The OIG recommended the NSA strengthen its controls in the event that a future deletion is required and consider whether it needs to reissue or revise its notifications to the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court and Congress. The report says that there was no impact on national security or international relations, but the NSA Civil Liberties Privacy and Transparency Office will assess the scope of the civil liberties and privacy impact of the incident after the investigation is complete. The remedial action detailed in the report says that the provider implemented a solution to prevent CDRs that contain inaccurate information, but that there is no estimated date of completion at this time, and the NSA is investigating how to remove other inaccurate CDRs from their system. The NSA's bulk collection program was introduced in 2001 after Congress passed the USA Patriot Act after September 11th. Section 215 of the Patriot Act allowed the government to collect records relevant to national security investigations. A loose interpretation of the word relevant led to the justification of the NSA's bulk collection of metadata of domestic calls. In 2015, President Barack Obama signed the USA Freedom Act to help prevent the Patriot Act from infringing on the civil liberties of U.S. citizens. It ended the collection of records under Section 215 of the Patriot Act and required more transparency between the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court and American citizens. The USA Freedom Act limits the system so that telecom companies would provide records to the government on a targeted as needed basis after judicial approval. But last June, the agency announced that it purged hundreds of millions of records citing technical problems. Their data had been contaminated by information it wasn't legally authorized to obtain because telecom companies just handed them over without judicial authority. Back in April, we reported on the NSA recommending that the White House not renew the program when it expires in December because the burdens do not outweigh the intelligence benefits. The NSA long argued that the program was vital to finding and preventing terrorist plots in the U.S., but senior intelligence officials said the program provided limited value to national security. Legal compliance issues forced the NSA to stop using the program earlier this year, and a bipartisan bill introduced by civil libertarian lawmakers called the Ending Mass Collection of Americans' Phone Records Act would end the program permanently. The group argued that the NSA's domestic metadata program never actually stopped a terrorist attack, but continues to violate civil liberties. In our next story, the surveillance tables turn on the U.S. government. In an audit released by the Pentagon's Inspector General on July 26, it was noted that the Department of Defense inadvertently bought hardware that could potentially be used by spies or hackers. The audit claims that more than 9,000 commercial hardware, such as printers, cameras, computers, carry potential cybersecurity exploits that could be used by bad faith actors to surveil U.S. military and defense contractor personnel and facilities. The audit states that without fixing these oversights, there could be more risks to top-dollar government infrastructure and weapons. Auditors also stated that the Pentagon has a habit of procuring commercial off-the-shelf or COTS devices from companies such as Kaspersky Lab, Huawei, or ZTE, which federal agencies have identified as potential cybersecurity risks. The declassified, partially redacted report indicates that if the DoD continues to purchase and use COTS information technology items without identifying, assessing, and mitigating known vulnerabilities associated with COTS information technology items, missions critical to national security can be compromised. Vital military systems are being run through these different commercial products, with the audit showing that both the Air Force and Army spent at least $32.8 million in the 2018 fiscal year on potentially risky items. The report states that the DoD's list of approved commercial products still include COTS devices that include cyber risks such as computers made by China's largest company, Lenovo Group. The Pentagon has not put out any statements regarding their purchasing patterns of commercial technology hardware. Items include 8,000 printers from Lexmark, which has direct ties with the Chinese security agencies and could help facilitate denial-of-service attacks, as well as 117 GoPro cameras that can access network credentials and create video streams or take pictures without user knowledge. According to the report, the issue is not just with basic office products, but also they are connected with high-tech weaponry. F-35 fighter jets utilize the commercially used Internet of Things products to improve pilot situational awareness. While threats from foreign actors selling hackable hardware is still a prevailing threat, there are also domestic companies selling products that are potentially exploitable. Recently, the San Jose-based Cisco Systems agreed to pay an $8.6 million settlement to the federal government for selling video surveillance systems containing known security flaws. The lawsuit started 8 years ago when James Glenn, a Cisco subcontractor, accused the IT giant of selling video surveillance technology to federal agencies with multiple security flaws knowingly. Glenn claims that he had discovered vulnerabilities in Cisco's Video Surveillance Manager Suite, or VSM, and reported it to the company. The vulnerabilities could potentially allow for hackers to remotely gain access to the system, allowing them to gain access to live feeds, modify or delete videos, as well as access stored data. Glenn was subsequently fired after he reported the system's security flaws, to which Cisco described him as a cost-cutting measure. Cisco sold the software both directly and indirectly to anything ranging from police departments, schools, courts, and airports, all the way to larger government organizations such as FEMA, Homeland Security, and the Secret Service, and all of the branches of the armed forces. The lawsuit outlines that Cisco had prior knowledge of all these security flaws, yet sold it anyway. The lawsuit stated, Cisco has known of these critical security flaws for at least 2.5 years. It has failed to notify the government entities that have purchased and continue to use VSM of the vulnerability. Thus, for example, an unauthorized user could effectively shut down an entire airport by taking control of the cameras and turning them off. Alternatively, such a hacker could take access of the video archives of a large entity and obscure or eliminate video evidence of theft or espionage. An official statement from Cisco outlined, although there were risks, that VSM was never exploited, stating, because of the open architecture, video feeds could theoretically have been subject to hacking, though there is no evidence that any customer's security was breached. In our final story, New technology used by the military is testing the legal question of what is considered intrusion and what's considered a public vantage point. For example, when you take a picture with your phone from the seat of a commercial flight of a city below, it's not illegal because the airspace is considered public. But if you had a telescopic lens that allowed you to make out individuals on the ground, by current law standards, it's still considered public space. The Atlantic highlighted a key example of this when a film crew shooting the 1998 movie, An Enemy of the State, could film the front of the National Security Agency from a helicopter despite the protest of government agents. All the Enemy of State crew had to do was file a flight plan and call it a photo mission. A film crew can shoot with almost any device they want, just above one of the nation's most secretive agencies, but the police or military can also do so over any city or town. According to law, the surveillance equipment must be publicly accessible technology, which has been defined in a few cases from 20 years ago. Recently, there have been sightings of military balloons flying over the Midwest, thought to have extremely sensitive radar technology known as the Gorgon Stare, a wide-area motion imagery camera that can monitor several areas at once. Gorgon Stare is normally attached to drones, which have more restrictions regarding where and when you can fly them. But this is the first time it's being used on balloons that have relatively fewer restrictions. The same rules apply to corporations like Acorn Growth Companies, an Oklahoma-based private equity fund that used a small twin-propeller plane to spend 3 weeks circling over Wilmington, North Carolina. The plane was carrying a state-of-the-art persistent surveillance camera that can monitor a large area continuously for hours at a time. Acorn's planes normally help the U.S. military acquire aerial surveillance in Africa, including tracking suspected terrorists' phones from the air. The Wilmington flights were run for two reasons: to demonstrate the technology's value for traffic surveys and to track vehicles going to and from retail outlets. This commercial intelligence would allow businesses to understand where their customers are driving from. The idea was to give retailers clues to help their marketing so they can target mailings or other efforts to lure in customers from neighborhoods where people tend to shop at competing stores. So far, no law enforcement agency using wide area motion imagery has faced a legal challenge. We're going to keep our eye on surveillance and give you further updates, so stay tuned here and check out our articles on Minds.com and Medium. You can also find those articles in podcast form in most podcast platforms. This Friday, the Subverse News team will be hosting an interactive live stream where you can ask us questions and hear us talk about the news. If you want to support the work we do, you can donate to our PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar, or you can buy Subverse gear from our Teespring shop. All those links are in the description. You can also help us grow by leaving your thoughts in the comments and share our videos. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.